today as we come to the table.
It's amazing what God did. And yet when you read about it here in Genesis, it says he made the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars too. Nothing to him. This is nothing to our God. Here's what we need to grasp from this, guys. Imagine not only how great and big our God is, but how powerful. Imagine the God that we serve. And why do I say this? Because what are you facing this morning? What is your issue right now that you're overwhelmed about? I can't deal with this. This is too hard. I'm overwhelmed. I need some help in this area. You've got a great helper. And you've got a helper who says, you know what? I created all this. And oh, yeah, I put the stars there. What is it you need?
Why is prayer so often our final resort? Like, I've tried everything else, and I still can't fix it. So maybe, God, you could give it a try. When you consider his creative power in making the stars and placing them where they go, why don't we run to him first? Maybe it's because we forget about creation in the craziness of everyday life. Well, Pastor Mark is going to remind you today. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. So, next time you feel overwhelmed, step outside and look at the stars. Remember that you have access to the same God who created them by hand and placed them in the sky. Then, take it to God in prayer and watch him do what he always wanted to do anyway. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
When you look at the stars at night, what do? They sparkle. They twinkle. God's jewelry in the universe, earrings hanging from different constellations, sparkling rings of light all over the sky that God has taken his fingers, the Bible says, and placed in certain position as he's adorned the heavens. But now it's not just for beauty. But there's a greater purpose as well. Notice what they were created for. First, to divide day from night. So again, they divide the day from the night. You know when day is, you know when night is, by which one is shining its glory, if you will. Secondly, for signs and seasons. Now, this is interesting. For signs here, there's a fascinating evidence that God has placed the gospel in the very constellation themselves. Now, we're not going to go into that, but if you want to do a study, you'll find that there are many ancient writings and that I believe have great merit to them, that the actual constellations themselves and all of the different groupings of stars preach the gospel. If you line them up, they preach the gospel from the heavens. Now, we know, of course, that pagan astrologers got a hold of these and now have given them cultic meanings. And that's where we have a lot of our astrology today, if you will. But it appears that that was not the origin. It appears that the origin was God actually put the gospel in the constellations. And so for signs and seasons, it's interesting. Also in Revelation, it tells us that God will use the heavens for signs and wonders in the last days. So we're going to see that the heavens themselves have been there and they haven't even completed their purpose yet. They're going to be used even more in the last days for signs and seasons, or rather for signs. Also notice he says for seasons. You know, any astronomer can tell you that if you know the constellations and planets, you can tell by that alone what season you're in. Because different constellations and different stars are in the skies at different times. I love the winter sky. I love them both, but you know, you get out in the winter sky and there's the Big Dipper, you know, and there's certain different constellations that I recognize in the winter sky, you know, the Seven Sisters, you know, or called the Pleiades as well. And there's all these constellations. You know what time it is. I mean, you know what it is typically because of the weather anyway. But I mean, even by the constellations, God has shown us when the seasons are by placing them in the heavens. Notice next, he says, for days and years. The planets in our solar system determine our days and our years based on rotation and on orbit. And it was at this point that God created time based on the orbits and the rotations. You know, this is an interesting thing to note. Remember, God is outside of time. Oftentimes we think of God as being bound by time, don't we? What's time, you know, to God? He's got this whatever. There is no time to God. God is outside of time, and God created the universe and then put the earth here, got it spinning, put all the stars and the planets around, got their rotations going, which set our time clocks, the earth in a 24-hour day, you know, the earth and the sun monitoring the year, and then, of course, all the other rotations of the planets giving us the different times that God has in rotation. But God is outside of that. It's all something that God has done for man. It's something we're based on, and that's why it's hard for our mind to grasp eternity. Because our mind is bound within this limitation of time. And again, we've said it before, that's why it's so absurd to say that the Word of God is outdated, because how do you outdate someone and something that doesn't exist within time? God's Word has been sent into time so that we might have it and we might know it, but God and His Word exist eternally outside of time. Now, it's interesting here, speaking about God doing the rotation of the earth and the years and the days, as we have the 365 days a year, 9 hours, and whatever it comes out to, it's a little bit more than 365 days a year. It's interesting to note that it appears from ancient records that the earth's rotation used to be 360 days a year rather than 365. This is according to ancient calendars and ancient writings. Sometime around 700 BC, that changed. We don't know why, but it would appear that that was the case from, the ancient records. But it's also interesting a lot of that fact that God uses 360-day years to describe prophecy. So you can see that even as God created, it appears that He started this thing originally on a 360-day year. God wrote scriptures that way. Prophecy is surrounded in 360-day year outlays. And so we have to adjust our mindset even in that respect. But again, it would show that at one point, the earth's rotation was apparently in some form or fashion different. Now, we don't know again what changed it. You might think, well, Mark, how could the earth's rotation change? That sounds crazy. Well, let me tell you how it just recently changed. Did you know that we now have a different length of year as of last year? Our Earth's rotation changed last year. We no longer have 365 days, 9 hours, and whatever it is, It's changed now, and I don't have the official numbers. I'm sorry for you. But our rotation and our year has now changed from last year to this year. Why? Because of the earthquake that caused the tsunami. When the 9-point-something earthquake that hit in the Indian Ocean, it rocked the Earth so much, it changed the Earth, and now our rotation is different, and our years are actually different. Now, you can begin to see if we can be changed from one major earthquake and our actual number of days that down to the technical science, if you will, that we have per year, then gradually you could see how 5 days could veer off over thousands of years. Not that hard to imagine or hard to see. How it happened, we don't know, but we know that part of, again, a change took place just last year on December 26th. The Earth's rotation changed. And so this year on this 26th, your year might have been, I don't know if it's a little bit longer or a little less. Maybe but the way you felt, well, you'll know. I don't know which it was, but either way. So amazing here to look at just how God has designed everything and how the fact that even though He's put it in place, it can have slight variations, but God has placed it and it continues to hold to the same mode and the same model that God created. Notice He says, then God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the light. And He also made the stars. Now, it's interesting. God says He made the greater light, we know the sun, the lesser light, the moon. But He also made the stars. It's almost as if He mentions the stars as an afterthought here. And yet, when you think about the vastness of the stars, you know, we were singing again this morning about the stars and that God created the stars. The Bible says that God took His fingers and placed them where they go. Now, imagine that. How amazing that is. I can't, just putting them in place and I can see Him forming the constellations and setting this little grouping together and just organizing everything just right. It's amazing what God did. And yet when you read about it here in Genesis, it says He made the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and He made the stars too. Nothing to Him. This is nothing to our God. Here's what we need to grasp from this, guys. Imagine not only how great and big our God is, but how powerful. Imagine the God that we serve. And why do I say this? Because what are you facing this morning? What is your issue right now that you're overwhelmed about? I can't deal with this. This is too hard. I'm overwhelmed. I need some help in this area. You've got a great helper. And you've got a helper who says, you know what? I created all this. And oh, yeah, I put the stars there. What is it you need? Well, in light of that, I guess this is pretty easy. That's what He's saying. And sometimes we get so closed into our situation, we think this is impossible. God could never change His heart. God could never change her heart. God could never bring in that amount of money. God could never do what I need in my life. God could never change me in the areas I need to be changed. God could never help me. Listen, God can do anything that needs to be done in your life. And He's given the power. He's showing and demonstrating His power even through creation. And I think a lot of the times where we have our struggles individually as believers is we just don't grasp the vastness of our God. We don't grasp how great He really is. But once we grasp how great He really is, man, the rest is easy. As I've said, if you can remember if you can believe the first verse of the Bible, the rest of it's easy. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but He can't cover my rent. I don't think so. We just have to have the proper perspective from God's perspective and what the Lord can really do here. And so he made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. Notice there, to shine down on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, notice here the word lights, it says. God made these lights. It literally means light reflectors. So when it talks about this, the moon here being a light reflector, it's exactly what it is. Scientifically, we know that. We know that the light that comes from the moon is not originated from the moon, but is simply reflecting the light of the sun as it shines. So it has the meaning of lights and light reflectors here, which is, again, is exactly what we see now. Scientifically, as our understanding increases, the moon itself just generating light that's hitting it from the sun. Now, again, you speak about God placing the stars in the heavens and God's greatness and God's vastness. Guys, here's what this should do. This should drive us to worship the Creator. When we look up and we see the stars, we should be driven to worship God. And yet it's amazing, and God warns about this in His Word. Instead of that, many people see this great creation of God. And instead of worshiping the Creator who created it, what do? They worship the creation. Again, there are those who look to the stars. You know, in astrology, they look to the stars to guide their life. They look to the stars to tell them what they're to do or what their future is or this kind of thing. And they look to the creation rather than the Creator here, again, known as astrology. And they believe that they can get divine direction from this. How foolish to look toward the created thing rather than the Creator. You know, it would just be like, you know, somebody, one of you guys, and you go hunting and you bring in the big, you know, catch or whatever, you know, or maybe you go fishing and you catch the big one, you know, you bring it home. It doesn't get away, so it's not just a story. And you actually bring it home. And you have it stuffed so you can hang it on your wall and brag about it for years and show it to all your friends. This is what I caught that day and all. And they come in and go, wow, what a fish. You really caught it. Wow, can I see that fishing pole? I want to talk to that lure. What? Yes, I need to see that lure. Just take me out there. Well, the lure, I'm the one caught it. No, this was a work of the lure. I know that because you could never do this. Take me to the lure. And so you go out there and they show them the lure. And like, wow, look at this lure. And they go and they mount it on their wall. The lure of the great catch. Oh, great lure. And they begin to bow down to the great lure. You'd be looking at him going, you're an idiot. You're crazy. The lure didn't do it. It was because this kind of thing, and I did that, and I'm not a fisherman, but whatever. And he bit it, and here it is, and I caught it. And yet, that's what happens with God and the stars, isn't it? God creates all these lures that are supposed to lure us to his greatness, to show us his power, and all these lures across the heavens. Wow, there's something that's directing this and leading this that I want to know. There's someone, there's a creature, there's a being out there that I need to know. And instead, some people stop and say, wow, what a lure. Wow, that probably has power, and I think that'll lead my life in some way. Oh, great lure, what's going to happen in the next month, you know? I'm a Virgo or Gemini or whatever, you know, and this kind of thing. That's where that all comes from. It all comes from this whole thing of somehow the stars, you know. You know, people say, what's your sign? It's the cross. That's what it is. And so again, we're not supposed to be looking to the lures to be drawing us in. They're supposed to be luring us to the Lord. It's Him that gets the glory. You know, it's interesting. It's creation itself here that cries out that there's a God who created it and has a purpose in the stars being there. Napoleon, the French military commander, was aboard a ship in the Mediterranean one starry night, as the story goes, and he was on deck and was walking past a small group of officers who were mocking at the idea of a supreme being. And the God of creation, what a joke, they were saying, the story goes. And he stopped and stared at them, and then sweeping his hand across the sky and looking at the stars, he said, gentlemen, you must first do away with these. In other words, if there's no creator, these couldn't be here. It screams of God's greatness. It screams that the Lord is the creator. Psalm 19, 1 through 6 declares this. Note this, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. No, they speak themselves. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Note this, Scripture declares that because of creation itself, no one has excuse on the earth. Everyone has a witness that God is alive and the Creator. No matter where you live, you can walk out and see the stars. You can walk out and see the creation of the earth, the mountains, the snow, the trees, whatever area you live in, God's creation declares that God created it. It's interesting. Paul declares the same thing in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. where he says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes," note this, "are clearly seen, being understood," not just seen, but note the word there, "being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." And here's the clincher. Are you ready? "So that they are without excuse." Here's what God is saying. When judgment day comes and every man stands before the Lord, yes, even the little pygmy who didn't hear Jesus' name, when they stand before the Lord, they will have no excuse before God, because God says, "I revealed myself to you supernaturally by nature and by my creation itself." Now, how God does it, I don't know. How God is going to mediate that, I don't know. But the Bible says he is just, he is righteous, and everything he does is going to be said on that day, "Lord, you are right. You have done it." Because people say, "Well, what about the person who never heard?" You know what? There may be people that stand before the Lord one day that never heard the name Jesus Christ, but they saw the Pleiades. They saw, you know, Orion. They saw the seasons changing. They saw creation. They saw nature and the animals and the way that it worked. And God says, through that, I will supernaturally speak to their heart. And through that, I will reveal myself to them. And they will know that there's a God that they're accountable to. And one day, I'm going to hold them account when they stand there before the Lord. Powerful. Again, but our God, again, showing here that all are without excuse. There's nothing anyone can say. It's interesting here, as a side note, even if you are personal witnesses, you know, even as we, rather, are personal witnesses. And think about this. You're a personal witness to your family, to your friends, to those in your workplace. In Knoxville in general, the Bible says here that God uses creation and nature to be a worldwide witness. Note that. What he's saying is, it's just like the way you walk around town and you be a witness, God just uses his creation around the world to scream his glory and to speak of his greatness and his existence. Now think about that for a moment. This is why this particular witness, that is the witness of creation, is so threatening to Satan. And this is why he so pushes the theory of evolution, because it is one of the greatest witnesses he could ever be. Listen, if you step up and become a greater witness for Jesus Christ, he's going to try to do something to discredit you. He's got to silence you. Somehow he's got to remove you as a witness. He's got to present you in a bad light. There's got to be something that will make you look less than you are so that you don't shine for God's glory. Well, what about creation? What about this huge giant witness that lives all over the world that goes, "Hey, here I am. I'm in Europe. I'm in Africa. I'm in the Antarctic. I'm everywhere. Can't get away from me. God's great. Made everything. Look at me. Look at me." That's what nature's doing. Look at the stars. They didn't just get here. You know it, as they wink at you. You know, right? They didn't just get here. And all this stuff happening. See, Satan hates that. He hates it with a passion. And he says, "I've got to do something about it. I've got to somehow convince everyone that God didn't create it. It just happened. And it just evolved over time. If I can do that, I can get their eyes off of God. And they'll begin to worship the creation rather than the creator. Even as it says, those who turn away from God foolishly do in Romans chapter 1. You see, this is a very wise scheme that he's got going. Even Satan tries to intimidate and silence us. How much more is he going to try to intimidate and silence creation? And the fact that it screams of God's glory. However, I love this. Nature and creation is one witness that man can't silence, nor Satan. Not with words, not by passing laws and can't remove the sun from school. Can't do it. Can't remove the facts of biology from the classroom. You can't remove it by laws. You can't remove it by efforts. You can't remove it by trying to cast doubt on it. Satan hates this with a passion. And those who hate God hate it with a passion as well. That's why there's such an aggression toward it. But understand, guys, it's because it's simply God's witness around the world. Nature itself being God's witness. And so the only way you can do away with that witness is you have to pretend that it got here some other way. Day 3 and 4. What an amazing look at our amazing God. As what he's done, what he's doing, it's amazing to realize that today the Creator knew you while you were still yet unformed clay in the center of the earth. Think about that. The Bible says once he created everything, everything came from that. So yes, you did come from that. Yes, certainly Adam had children, they had children. But those children weren't created. They were from existing matter that had already been created and now just being redeveloped, if you will, reproduced. And so even as you were at the center of the earth before God jutted the lands up through the oceans and began to form Adam and breathe life into his nostrils, which we'll get to in day 6, and then down the line, here we come, he knew you. He knew you. He knew what he called you to do. He knew the days he had planned for you. He formed and shaped them, even as he formed and shaped the earth. The question is, do you know him? You see, he knows all about you, but have you given your life to him? Have you made that commitment to him to come to know the one that created you? You're not here by accident. You're not here by chance, and he's got a reason that you're here. And see, this morning right now, if you're being convicted, saying, wow, I realize there is a creator. I see God's creation, and I can't deny all these things, and it couldn't have just happened, and somebody had to do this. I know I need to make a decision. You need to make that decision this morning. Maybe you haven't made that decision, but you say, you know what, Lord? I need to have you create in me a clean heart, to create in me a brand new heart, a brand new life, to let me be born again. That's what the Bible talks about, being born in spirit, if you'll just simply yield to him. And here's the neat thing. If you'll simply yield to him, God, the Lord and creator of all things, will reveal to you the purpose that you're here, the plan for your life, the reason God created you. Maybe you're sitting there and I go, why am I here? You know, maybe somebody invited me. You know, I don't know why I'm here. You know, again, I thought it was, you know what, I don't know. Grocery store, I was going to come in and pick up some bread and some milk, and well, they're having a service. I sat down. Yeah, I don't know what you thought when you came in. Of course, I know you probably didn't think that. But the bottom line is, listen, you might be wondering, why am I here this morning? Listen, if you're a believer, you're here this morning because God wants to reveal his majesty through creation to you. He wants you to see his glory. He wants to expand your view. He wants to stretch out your vision of him the same way he stretched out the heavens. But if you're here as an unbeliever, God wants you to realize, you know what? He loves you. He has a plan for you, and he's known you since before creation. He's simply waiting on you to make a decision. And here's the clincher. It's in your hands. You can either choose him or you can say, no, what, I'm not going to choose him. But when you stand before him on that day, you're not going to have an excuse. You can't stand there and say, well, I didn't know. Well, nobody told me. Well, even if Mark didn't tell you this morning, the stars did. Orion shouted it out to you. The seven sisters, they gave their voice. The sun every day came over. He exists. See you tomorrow. He exists. See you tomorrow. And every day, right? This morning, he's shining his light on your heart, saying he exists, he loves you, and he wants you to be his. Let's pray that you'll do that. Father, how we thank you, Lord, for what a great God you are, and that we can know you, Lord, and that we can be a part of your plan. You are such a great and mighty God. And Lord, even as the waves bow down before they reach their limits, we bow down this morning and say to you, you are our God, and what a great and mighty creator you are. And I pray your encouragement for believers here this morning that might be facing tough situations and thinking, this could never work out. Lord, let them remember the vastness of our God, the vastness of who you are and what you can do and what you will do for your glory if we will simply yield our lives to you. And Lord, for any here that don't know you, they've never given their life to you, but now this morning you've opened their eyes. Lord, you've created in them a view of the truth. You've created in them a heart now that is ready to receive. Lord, I pray that this morning they would know and believe that you came to the earth as a man and died for them on a wooden cross, shedding your blood. That if they simply believe that you died in their place for their sins and they receive it and ask forgiveness, that when they stand before you on judgment day, they will be clean before you and accepted eternally in the kingdom. Lord, that's our desire. And we pray you would do it in their heart. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.